Hello, this is AJ, welcoming you to Inside the Quilting Pot. Grab a craft, have a seat, and let's get started, shall we? Today is Sunday, August the 5th. This is TQP number 22, titled Chunking. And you'll understand that when I get a little further in the podcast. First, I want to let you know, I know it's been a long time. I'm still trying to figure out how I am going to do this podcast. It doesn't seem like every 2 weeks is working for me. What I think I will do, I know I'll get at least one out a month. Hopefully more than one, but we shall see. No promise time as to when it's going to come, but I know there will be at least one a month until I can get things straight. So first I want to talk about my block swap. I was in a string block swap hosted by Katie of Katie's Quilting Corner, and I finally got all of my blocks in. I think I received the last set of blocks Thursday, maybe this past Thursday, which would have made it the second, the first, I don't know. But anyway, it would be this past Thursday. So I put them up on my design wall and kind of arranged them and did a little photo of it and posted it on Twitter. So if you follow me on Twitter, you will see the arrangement of the string blocks. I only have 16 blocks. Yes, it could be a wall hanging, but I want to make it a little bigger. I'm thinking about making more blocks, but I will be making more blocks to add to the 16 I already have, or maybe Katie will think about hosting another string block swap so that we could add to what we already have. If not, I'll do my own. Hint, hint, Katie, if you're listening. So I don't know how many blocks I'm going to add to it, but we'll see. I want to at least get it a lap size so that I can get up under it when I'm either on my bed or on the sofa downstairs. So thank you, Katie, for hosting the string block swap. And thank you to all of my partners. I love them. I will get the names out individually, hopefully by the end of this podcast. I know I have neglected my shout outs, but I'm trying to get those back in. I noticed I had a lot of reviews on iTunes. Thank you. So I'll get your name out as well. So moving on, this is going to be kind of a rambly podcast. I don't really have a format. I'm just going to talk. I know when I try to do formats, it takes a lot more time. Other than just jotting down what I want to talk about, no specific order. Next on my list is log cabin blocks. I ran across this website, and the way that these log cabins blocks were done, I looked at them, I'm like, ooh, they're kind of neat. It has a wonky appearance. So I decided I'd trace it back, and I don't know if I saw it through Pinterest or however I found it, but I will put a link in the show notes or at least the web address or something so that you can get to it if you want to see her tutorial on it. I don't have her name right off, but I will add that to the end of the podcast in my little admin notes, in which I'll talk about links, website, how to get in touch with me and things of that nature. So it's a great tutorial, and you kind of have to follow it the way she says it unless you want to recompute the math of the block. The block does not come out a 12.5-inch block or a 12-inch block or whatever. It comes out like, my block ended up being 10 7/8 inches. Don't ask me how, it just did. Now, I did one block to start off just to make sure that I had the technique right. And your block really needs to be square in order to get the wonkiness correct. So when I did my test block, for whatever reason, it was not square. Left to right was perfect. Top to bottom was longer than left to right. So I had more of a rectangle shape. So I did not have the perfect square. So I had to figure out how to cut my block to make it square, or how to make it square, basically. So what I did was, it's partially a log cabin block, but then I added strips on the shorter side to make it more square. So when you add it opposite corners, it's more of a courthouse step block as opposed to a log cabin block. Log cabin blocks are done in clockwise rounds. Courthouse steps blocks are done top to bottom, side to side, or side to side, top to bottom. So it's kind of a log cabin in a courthouse step sort of block. So I got it squared, and then I did the wonkiness. And after looking at, I did a second block. After looking at the second block, came out perfect. I discovered what I did wrong in the first block. What I had done in the first block was, remember, log cabins go clockwise. Center, another one, then to the left, to the right, and all around. So you have two legs on each side, diagonal from each other. I missed a light log on near the center block. It was way too many logs to take out to fix it. So I just left it. And then I said to myself, that'll be my humility block. So if you don't know what a humility block is, it is what quilters say, or quilters purposely do in a quilt so that the quilt does not remain perfect. You can't see me do the air quotes. So I decided to look up the definition, or look up online what a humility block was. And I found several, and I've kind of put a couple together. And you can Google humility block and you'll probably come up with the same that I came up with. I do recall one was, part of it was from something written by CT Publishing, I think, on the history of Amish quilts. And this is what they say. Of course, a humility block is a myth. The person that did the research in CT Publishing said that she spoke with an Amish person, and they said that they make enough mistakes without doing a humility block. But the original thought was that the Amish and the Mennonite women put a mistake in each quilt because only God can and should make something perfect. By doing this, it kept the quilt maker humble. So that's how it came to be. I'm quite sure there are several other explanations explanations regarding humility blocks. But in this log cabin quilt, when it is done, it will have an humility block. So when I'm done with it and get the top put together, I'll probably have a contest to see who can spot the humility block. It probably will be easy now that I told you what I have done. But in the interim, that's what my plan is. So stay tuned. I don't know when the contest will be, but like I said, once the top gets finished, not quilted, but the main portion of the top, I will host a contest to see who can find my humility block. So now let me get to why I am calling this podcast Chunking. I have decided that sitting down doing an entire podcast is a little time consuming. by the time that you do the podcast, do some editing. Sometimes I edit, sometimes I don't. I have discovered when I attempt to edit, for whatever reason, when I go back to play it, things are all out of sequence. I don't quite know how that happens because I don't really move anything around. It just seems to be out of context. I'm probably doing something wrong since, yes, I am still new at this. And one day I will figure out why that happens. But I have been trying to just talk and not do so much editing so that I don't have that happen again. So back to chunking. I digress a little bit. Well, a lot bit. I will be doing my podcast usually on a Sunday, but I will not sit down and do the entire thing at one time. I'll just do tidbits of it, edit the tidbits, and do a little bit later. Right now, I have been podcasting for about 12 minutes. And I have a couple of things that I need to get done. I got to take Gizmo to the vet. And when I get back, then I'll pick it up again. And the reason he's going to the vet is to follow up on these hot spots that he keeps getting. I think he's allergic to something here. I'm not quite sure. So now he is on allergy medicine once a day. And so this is a follow-up to see how that's doing. He's doing well. No new hot spots. He's back to his regular old licking. So I'm okay. So I think I'm going to sign off right now, and I will talk to you when I get back. Okay, I'm back. It is now about 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. Hopefully, I'll get the podcast completed during this session, but if not, I'll have one more to go. So what I'm going to start with is a question. Has anyone else noticed as they get older, maybe a decade or two, or anybody over the age of 35 or 40, continue to gain weight even though you're not eating as much? Is your metabolism slowing down? Mine sure is. That has prompted me to take a look at myself. I love junk food. Can't say that I can get away from junk food, but I have recently joined Curves. And Curves, for you who don't know about it, it's been around for a while, but it is an exercise place that caters to women, women only, and you do things in a circuit, in a complete circuit. And by the time you go through your different stations, you spend 30 seconds at each station. By the time you get through your station, it's been 30 minutes. And that's how it is timed. You can go through it twice if you want, but I guess the recommendation now is at least 30 minutes of some kind of exercise every day. So I decided I'd go join Curves that is close to me, and they have a complete outfit. They have the stations as well as the computerized program that keeps track of your height, weight, measurements, and all of that. I joined Curves Complete, which is like, oh, what can I say? You put in your likes and you don't, your dislikes, and it kind of prints your menu out for you. You can either cook everything you want, buy frozen, or have a little mixture of both. So it prints out your menus week at a time, and you can change your choices by what's available. So what the premise is, you get a breakfast, a snack, a lunch, a snack, and a dinner. So with that, and that's kind of on the same lines as Weight Watchers, sort of, as far as the meals, the types of meals. So with that, your blood sugar stays more consistent as opposed to having big spikes and big drops, which is what causes you to get hungry. So I joined Curves. Your first week, you get to, you know, go through the website, take a tour, listen to people talk, kind of get a feel of what you need to do. My official time starts tomorrow. At the end of the week, I'll have my one-on-one counseling session. So I did my first exercise on Saturday. They take you through each machine, explain it to you. So that's what I did. And then they had me go through it a second time just by myself while they watched to make sure I was doing everything correctly. So it was kind of nice, a little sweaty for me, because I guess that's a lot of exercise for someone that hasn't really exercised a lot. In addition to going curves, a couple of weeks ago, I bought myself a bicycle with the premise of riding it at least 3 times a week. Well, I've had it for 2 weeks now, and I've basically only been riding it on the weekends, very early in the morning, because otherwise I leave for work at 5:36. That's too early to get up to deal with the dogs and then have to try to get a bike ride in and then get to work. And in the evening time, by the time I get home, deal with the dogs, it's late, and I don't want to get all those endorphins going around for me to have to stay up late because I get up so early. So like I said, as of now, I'm riding it on the weekends. And it is a Raleigh. It's made by Raleigh, and it's a comfort bike. So it's a nice little bike. And they had several styles. I bought a style based on the color, which is, I guess, the middle of the line Raleigh that they offer from a local bike shop here. So I'm pretty happy with it. I haven't gotten as much riding as I would have liked to, but that's okay. The weekends are still working. So I am going to try to post my weekly reports, hopefully on my blog. If not, I'll probably tweet about it, you know, every weekend to let you know how I'm going. My starting point is higher than I would like to see it. I don't think I've been this size for a long, long time. I don't think I've ever been this size. But I got to stop because it's going to get to a point that it's unhealthy. So if you follow me on Twitter, keep your eyes out. I'll be posting at least weekly, probably a Friday or a Saturday. When my podcast starts, or when I podcast, I'll probably talk a little bit about it the next times that I podcast. The program right now is a 90-day program. A little pricey, but that's okay. You can't put a price on your health. Once I finish the program, then I'll get into their regular routine membership, which you pay whatever, depending on what you're charged. I guess because I was part of the program, I'll get a little more discount than others. I'm not sure, but I won't find that out for another 90 days. So for the next 90 days, I'm going to be doing Curves Complete. Hopefully it works for me. I have no doubt if I stick to it that it will. My problem is sticking to it. Like I said, I am a junk food junkie. So follow me along and kind of give me attaboys or words of wisdom or something to keep me focused. I'm going to try my best to stay focused. So with that said, I'm going to move on to the next topic. Well, Quilting Arts Magazine. I bought the new issue at a Publix yesterday. And I flipped through them as once I get home. I really don't read the articles unless I see something that I definitely want to read. I look more at the quilts and the pictures and the patterns and things like that. Quilting Arts, as it says, it's more art quilting. But there was one, artist in there that her technique, her work was very fascinating to me. Hold on 1 second. Let me get the magazine. I'll tell you exactly her name. Okay, I'm back. It is the August-September 2012 issue, number 58 of Quilting Arts. And the artist's name is Diane Savannah. And the article is called Under the Surface Embellishment. And what it looks like she does is find flat objects, stitch them down on a background, for lack of a better word, and then she takes that and puts, it's kind of hard for me to describe, once she gets it secured to the background and whatever arrangement she likes, and it's any found objects. I see, looking at her picture, a cup hook, washers, door hinges, screws, keys, bra straps, anything that reads flat, buttons, belt buckles, hooks, anything that you can imagine that would read flat, she has it there. She even has things like an awl. It's just, I don't know. In one piece, she has like a darning egg, some needles, this looks like a chibi needle. She even has a pair of scissors in here, but I'm too excited. What she does is secure them to the background, and I think it's a heavy wool. And then she takes whatever vintage color material or embellishments, she puts it on the top, and then she does a running stitch around the object as close as she can get it, inside of the object if it has open areas inside, in order for you to get the impression of the object from the outside of the work. And then she over dyes it. I looked at it and I'm like, that might be something that I would love to do. And then the magazine, she does give you like a little mini directions of how to do it. It's a small piece. So I think I'm going to try this. I don't know how it's going to be, but it looks like something I would enjoy. So if you're interested, take a look at Quilting Arts. You hear lots of rustling in the back. Sorry. Quilting Arts Magazine, August, September issue 2012. And her name is Diane Savannah. And I really do enjoy it. And if you want to get the magazine, or if you just want to look at it while you're in a store and you happen to see it, she's on page 52. So give her a quick look. It's now 22 minutes in, and I have a few more things to talk about, as well as a little administrative stuff and then my shout out. I am desperately trying to catch up on all of my podcasts. I'm so far behind with the move, trying to get the new job done, using my spare time when I got here to catch up on some quilting. I've kind of fallen behind on my podcasting, because my setup is a little different here. I don't really have a place to play it from here. So I'm going to work on that next. I had thought about my computer room, but I have to find the cord to hook my iPod up to it just to so I can listen to it. I don't want to put my USB cord up to it because it will empty out my iPod and then I will be in a big world of hurt. So I'm trying to get caught up at podcasts at work while I'm in the car. Not quite there yet. Trying to do them one by one. So bear with me. I'll get all caught up because I am far, far, far behind. So behind. The next thing I want to talk about is embroidery. Embroidery. I know Katie does a lot of embroidery. I'm trying to get back in embroidery. And those who like Crazy Quilt, there is a Crazy Quilt series at a website called Molly Mine, and the series is a new Simply series. Parts 1 and 2 are up so far, and what it does is does a Crazy Quilt for you block, anyway, not the quilt, the block, and it uses decorative stitching. So what you do is you hoop your fabric, and it has 3 different sizes. You hoop your fabric, you stitch out your placement guides, and then you cut your fabric out roughly at the size a little bit larger than the placement guide size. So once it is stitched out, you can go very close to the edge and clip it. Once you get all of that done, then it does your crazy quilt stitches for you. So I haven't really started it. That's how it should go. I've done things in the hoop before in the past, so hopefully I'm explaining it correctly. If not, I will correct myself the next time that I get on once I've started the project. The last thing I want to talk about is work. Work for me, all my online training is done. It entails a lot of meetings. I am in meetings probably half of my day. And one good thing that's happening this week for me is I am being promoted to my next rank. So I have my family coming. I knew my daughter and her husband and my grandson was coming up because they're only about 3.5 hours, 4 hours away. However, my sister and my youngest daughter has also told me that they were going to be coming down, so I'm kind of excited. So for my small 3-bedroom house, I will have a house full this week. So I'll let you know how that goes the next time I podcast. I am very excited to have my family here. Haven't seen my daughter from Northern Virginia since I moved, and I haven't seen my sister probably since I took care of her when she had her hip replacement. So I'll be happy to see her. I did not tell quite the truth. I do have one more little thing before I get to administrative stuff. My doggies. Gizmo, he is now on allergy medicine every day. It's sort of like a mild form of prednisone, but it's not prednisone. I can't think of the name of it right now. It's downstairs. And he gets a pill a day along with chlorotrimetine. He gets 2 pills a day, 1 in the morning and 1 at night. We're going to try this road because the vet seems to feel that he is allergic to something in this area. Trying this road because it's a little less expensive. If I haven't mentioned it before, I'm going to mention it again. And if I did, I'm sorry, but allergy testing is like $400 or $500. No, I take that back. $300 or $400 for a dog to be allergy tested. He's been allergy tested once, and it takes a week for the results to come back. And he did have a spike in oak when we were in Virginia, but not enough to warrant allergy shots. So we're going to try this route and see how things work. And hopefully this will work for him and I don't have to have allergy testing done again. Mr. Jody, I can't remember Gizmo being this active, but he is just like, I guess this would be considered his terrible threes. He's into everything. Shoes, wood, rungs of chairs. I've tried putting hot sauce, Tabasco sauce on things. He just licks it. He just loves it. So today when I was at Banfield, I stopped and got some bitter spray. We'll see if that works for him. He might like it. My dog seems to be very weird. They tend to like stuff that other dogs don't like, but I'm going to try some bitter spray and see how that works. The other thing that's really irritating me with Jody, and I love him to death, but, you know, I wear reading glasses. And they're over-the-counter reading glasses, and they're not that expensive, but it is just driving me crazy. If I leave my glasses at the bedside, he sneaks. I don't know how he does this. I must sleep very hard. He sneaks over, and he steals my glasses off the bedside. And I wake up in the morning, and one of the arms of the glasses, like half of the arm is gone. And he has chewed or destroyed probably 5 pairs since I've been here. So I have reverted to putting them up high so that he can't get it. But if I leave it anywhere he can reach, he will get them. And just before I know it, he's gone and I can't chase him because he's way too fast. He's too young. He just runs and he knows he is doing something wrong. So I don't know. I took him to puppy training school. We didn't quite finish. He needs to be socialized. That's all I'm going to say about him. I think he has a little bout of ADD. I don't know. Do dogs have ADD? I'm quite sure they do. Jody might have it, or it just might be that he's testing me to see who's the boss. Right now, Jody's the boss of this house. Gizmo and I just kind of let him do what he wants, and I got to get a handle on that. Gizmo is so laid back, and Jody is quite the opposite. So hyper. And yes, he's still a puppy. He's 9 months old. So that's it for my meat of the podcast. Now for the administrative part. If you would like to reach me, you can do so at thequiltingpot.podbean.com or at iknitandquilt2.blogspot.com, on Twitter, Ravelry, and Pinterest as Knitty AJ. And if none of those work for you, you can put in thequiltingpot.com and that will get you to my blog, I do believe. I will put in the show notes the link to the tutorial for the scrappy rebuilt log cabin. The person's or the blogger's site is Elaine Adair Pieces. Also, I will put in the link for Molly Mine. Her website is www.mollymine.com. So if you don't get to it that way, you can get through it through my blogger account. I'll just put the very basics on my Podbean account. It's usually a condensed version of what I put into Blogger. So with that said, I am going to go on to my shout out. Okay, I am here to give my shout out. Let me first start by saying if I didn't call your name or missed your name, I do apologize. I can't remember the last time that I did a shout out, so I only went back to the beginning of May to catch people that I had not mentioned before. Like I said, I don't remember exactly the last time that I started. And again, I apologize if I don't say your name, and I do appreciate you and everyone else listening. So here we go. First, Vivian, Martha, Margaret, Jackie, Rosemary, Tanisha, Cynthia, Sewing Karen 22, Gretchen, Tori, Shelley, Dr. Molly, Leslie McNeil, Patty. Thanks for leaving comments at my blogger site and on iTunes. Thank you, Emily, Karen04, and Teresa. A special shout out to my SWAT partners, Riedel1, Nantham, Terror1225, Simply Made K. Thank you for the gorgeous blocks. So until next time, may all your seams be straight.